Okay, thanks for coming. We want to start learning the laws of Avelus. And, you know, this is a reflection of the times that we're in now, the 3 weeks. And what I'd like to do is study in depth the laws of Avelus and see what we can come up with. The Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Avel lists 11 different categories of Isurim, of prohibitions that are incumbent upon an Avel. He's not allowed to wear shoes, and he's not allowed to, anoint himself, he's not allowed to wear tefillin, he's not allowed to study Torah, etc., etc. If I were to ask you, given the fact that we divide the mitzvos generally into los ases and ases, where would you put avelus?
Like they're a bunch of los ases, but
it's really a los ases. That's why I don't understand. If you take a look at the Gemara Moed Katan on Daf Yudalet Amud Beis, which is the first of your sources, the Gemara uses a phrase there, "Asei di Yochid." If you want to underline that on the second line, "Asei di Yochid." The word "Asei" clearly indicates that Avelus is a positive command. In fact, if you look at the third source on your page, the Rambam in his introduction to Hilchos Avel says that there's one mitzvah "Asei" in Hilchos Avel, lis abel al akrovim. So he clearly classifies Avelus, following the line of the Gemara in Bein Katan, as a positive command. In fact, if you look inside Hilchos Avel in Perek Aleph Halach Aleph, mitzvah sase lis abel al akrovim. And my question to you is, what's the content of this mitzvah? I can list you 11 Isurim as the Rambam does in the fifth parak of Hilchos Avel, but I can't list one single positive command. What act is the Avel chayev to perform, to implement, in order to say that he has fulfilled the mitzvah say? Now, let's go back to the Gemara in Moed Katan, because the plot grows thicker. The Gemara wants to know what happens if there's a conflict between Avelus and Regel, which unfortunately happens quite often. And this could occur in two different scenarios. One is where one of his Krovim died before the Regel, so the burial took place before Yontif. And the second scenario would be if he died during Yontif and they buried him on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara establishes that in the conflict between Avelus and Regel, Avel eino noeg Avelus oberegel. Regel wins out. Regel trumps, as we say. Shenemar v'samachta b'chagecha. I Avelus demeikarahu. If the Avelus began already before the Yontif, Asi esei derabim. Comes along the powerful essay of v'samachta b'chagecha, which is incumbent upon the entire community. V'dachi, and it overrides the essay v'yoch in your particular Asay of Avelus, the Avelus to Hashtahu, and if on the other hand he wants to begin his Avelus because he buried his dead on the Regel, Lo Asi Esay the Yachid Vidachi Esay the Rabim. The mitzvah Asay of Avelus, which is on the Yachid, is powerless in comparison to the Asay the Rabim of Visamachta Bechagecha. So in either case, Avelus has to subjugate itself, has to kowtow to Regel, because Regel is a mitzvah saseh derabim. Now what I'd like to study with you is the very premise, I'd like to analyze the very underlying premise of this sugya in Moed Kut, namely that Avelus and Simchas HaRegel are mutually exclusive, and we have to determine which mitzvah has to give way to which mitzvah. The Gemara in the continuation asks about a menudeh. Now you may know that there are many different averus that can put a person into nidui. Let's say he's extremely arrogant in front of a Talmud Chacham, so they can put him into nidui. And at large chunks of Masechta Moed Katan address this issue of a menudeh. What is the law of a menudeh? Now, one of the most perplexing questions about nidui is whether or not it's a doraisa or derabbanan. It's really unclear. The Tashbetz has two dimensions to nidui. One dimension is doraisa, one is derabbanan. I mean, it's really top lumps, but we're not going to get into that. Let me mention to you that the Ritva works with the premise that Nidui is the Rabbana. And he is completely baffled by the fact that the Gemara weighs and vacillates back and forth which should win out in a conflict situation, Nidui or Simchas HaRegel. Now it's true that a Menuda has to observe the laws of an Avel as part of his Kiyum Nidui, but it's only the Rabbanan. What was the Havamina then that the Gemara raised that perhaps Nidui the Rabbanan would would override the mitzvah of Simchas HaRegel Doraisa? How could that possibly be? So in order to explain this, the Ritva says, you'll see a number Vav on your list, Menuda Mao Sheyinog Niduya Beregel Meha Ikol Amashman the Nidui Doraisa. It would seem that the Gemara is operating with the premise that Nidui is Doraisa. The Lav Hachi Asi Nidui Hechi Asi Nidui Drabonim Vedochi Regel Doraisa Vekumva. Say, what was the Gemara thinking when it entertained the possibility that Nidui would override Regel? It's impossible. The Rabbanan can't trump a Doraisa. So the Ritva gives the following answer. We'll skip to the answer. He says, "V'yeshloma demidoraisa, kevan shesomach b'achilas basar v'chayotze bo, ein haregel mischalel, v'karinen bei v'samachta b'chagecho." Basically, the Ritva is claiming that Nidui, even if you assume it overrides and applies on a regel, it doesn't really violate or undermine the mitzvah of regel. Why? Because the menud is allowed to eat meat.
Excuse me. Is there some way that the lights were on?
When I came in, the lights were off.
Yeah, how did you turn them on?
I think I put it on here with this.
Okay, thank you.
So, in the case of a menuda, he's allowed to eat meat. He's allowed to drink wine. So if we apply the principle of Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar B'Yayin, he can indeed fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif without violating and desecrating Yontif, and at the same time he can observe the laws of Nidui. Therefore, the Gemara wants to know if a Nidui, even on a Drabbanan level, whatever it is, is he obliged to behave and be Mekayim all the Nihuge Nidui, the Nihuge Avel? Right? And not that we're going to trample, we're going to violate and desecrate Yontif, because he'll eat meat and he'll drink wine. But just that the Gemara hesitates to allow for Nihuge Avil on Yontif. Now, the Ritva doesn't address the following question, but I think it jumps out of the pages of the Ritva. If he's assuming that you can fulfill the Nihuge Avel, in this case of a Nidu, you have a Menuda, and at the same time, you can eat meat and drink wine, which is 100% correct about that, and therefore, Eina Regel Mischalel. So, what did the Gemara think in the case of Avelus? Why did the Gemara think that Regel has to override Avelus? Why can't he be an Avel, fulfill all the 11 Isurei Avel, so he won't wear shoes, he'll wear sneakers instead, and he won't take a bath on Yontif? So what? You'll tell me, but he can't fulfill the mitzvah of Regel? It's an absolute contradiction. Why? Let him eat meat and drink wine. There's no prohibition on an Avel to eat meat and drink wine. I mean, there's a din of Aninus, but we're talking about Avelus. In fact, I don't know if you guys know that the minhagim of the Yemenites, the Tamanim, is that they have a certain number of cups of wine that they drink with every additional suda of the Zayin Yemei Avelus. It's almost like the Menachamim are trying to get the Avel back into society. In fact, the first meal that we feed an Avel when he comes back from the base Hakvaris is the Suda Savro, which is a meat meal. So there's no problem with an Avel eating meat or drinking wine. So why did the Gemara postulate, without even questioning the assumption, that we've got to weigh Avelus against Regel and we cannot reconcile the two? There's an absolute contradiction. So the Rav Zichrono Livracha has a Yesod, which I think is a revolution. I think it goes way beyond the bounds of this particular sugya that we're studying. It's almost a methodology that you can learn from. He's just breaking new ground. I'm going to say it over in my language, and then you'll see how the Rav says it in his language. I typed this in from Hadarom, which is a journal where the Rav published this. So if there are any typos here, they're mine. The Rav says that although most mitzvos of the Torah, with very few exception, require a ma'isa mitzvah, and that's it. The kiyuma mitzvah is automatic. And the ma'isa mitzvah generates the kiyuma mitzvah. There's no difference. There are rare few mitzvos where the ma'isa mitzvah is one thing, but the kiyuma mitzvah is not automatic. Whereas the ma'isa mitzvah is meant to generate, to trigger off and produce some sort of an emotional state. That's what the Rav terms a kiyum shebelev. And he says the following. He says, imagine a person would observe Yontif, and he eats meat and he drinks wine, but he's despaired, he's despondent. His inner state of simcha is completely lacking. He's gone through perfunctorily all the external manifestations and requirements of simcha's Yontif, but it didn't affect him inside. Says the Rav, it would be meaningless. He would have forfeited the kiyum shebelev, the action, the ma'aseh chitzoni, is nothing more than a means to an end. It's a technique. But the goal and the kiyum, the essence of the mitzvah, is the internal state, the psychological state of simcha. Says the Rav, the same thing applies to avelus on the opposite end of the spectrum. Avelus requires a kiyum shebelev. A person can be meticulous and observe all 11 Yisurei Avel, but if he doesn't feel the avelus internally, emotionally, then he forfeits the mitzvah. The avelus is just a means to an end. There's a ma'isa mitzvah, an external manifestation, but the kiyum mitzvah, the essence of the goal of the mitzvah, is the kiyum shebelev. Without it, you have nothing. Very radical position and very extreme. Based on these premises, the Rav asks the following question. Can avelus and simchas haregel coincide in the same person at the same time? Can you simultaneously achieve avelus and simcha? Says the Rav, if you would look at it from the ma'isa mitzvah, from the external acts, why not? There's no contradiction to avelus if you were to eat meat and drink wine, and there's no contradiction, you would not be undermining simchas yontif if you abstain from all these Surya Avel. You can do both. But you know where the stira is, says the Rav? It's in the Kiyum Shebelev. The Kiyum Shebelev, the inner moment of Avelus, is antithetical to the inner moment of Simchas Haregel. That's why the Gemara judges in ways which has to give weight. Good? So if you take a look at the Rav's language here, he says the following, Hastira bein shel avelut v'simchat haregel eino einano gat lepirtei nihug avelut. It's not the niug where the stira exists. V'niug hapulot hachitzoniot einan makhishot zu et zu. Hastira, but rather, where's the contradiction? Krucha v'kiu mitzvatan shel simcha v'regel. B'etzem mahutan, in their very essence. Mahut ha-simcha ipula nafshit, simcha shebelev. And therefore, even if you can reconcile the ma'asim, the external actions, but nevertheless, biyachas l'simcha v'avelut shebalev, yeshna hakchasha dadit. It's an absolute irreconcilable contradiction. Ve'i'efshal l'shnei hafachim shityachsu l'nosecha bizman echad. Therefore, the regel comes and overrides avelus. The regel as a mitzvah, the rabbim, and the avelus as a mitzvah, the yoch. This yesod, I think, would answer our original question very clearly. We asked, how could it be that the Gemara calls avelus a mitzvah saseh, and the Rambam follows suit and classifies it a mitzvah saseh? Where's the aseh? What positive action am I obligated in avelus? Avelus exhausts itself in a list of 11 Isurim prohibitions. The answer is that the kiyum shebelev is a mitzvah. True, I have to observe to the T all the Isurei avelus, but those are only means and methods to achieve and trigger off the kiyum shebelev, which is itself what makes avelus essentially a mitzvah saseh. I also thought we could support the Rav's premise by mentioning a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says on Daf Mem Vav Mem Beis Ein Aninus Ela B'Lev. Although Aninus technically is when it's referred to in a legal context means something different. Here in this Mishnah it's referring to Avelus. And basically, Avelus is Belev, meaning the Iker of Avelus is Belev. If this be the case, then let's go back to the Ritva. What's Menuda? Why does the Gemara assume that at the end of the day you don't have to undermine the mitzvah d'oraisa of regel? It doesn't have to be a regel mischal al yodah. The answer is that a menuda has no kiyum shebelev. The menuda is a carbon copy of an avel, but only insofar as he's obligated, he's enjoined from the pu'ulot hachitzoniyot. But he's not obligated to reach this state of kiyum shebelev. Therefore, he doesn't undermine simchas regel. On the contrary, he should be obligated and fulfill the mitzvah of simchas regel exactly like any other person. Not so in avel, where the external actions are meant to lead to the kiyum shebelev, and that kiyum shebelev is antithetical to simchas regel. Okay, so this is my addition to what the Rav said based on the Ritva and the chiluk between an avel and a menuda. However, we can even take this a step further. In number Zion, the Gemara says that an avel cannot send karbonos. Again, he himself is confined to his house for Shivas Yomim, but let him send his karbonos to the Migdash through a shliach. For example, let's say he wants to offer a karbon shlomim. So the halacha states unequivocally, he cannot send the karbon shlomim. The sanya we learned in a brisa of Shimon Omer, shlomim. What do we learn from the word shlomim? The syntax, the shoresh, the root of the word. Bismanshu shalem. Shalem means he's close to Hashem. Falo bismanshu onein. And then the Gemara is going to ask, what about menuda? Because again, menuda is not like an ovel. In the case of an ovel, his inner state of being is exclusive. It's antithetical to the concept of bismanshu shalem. So therefore, he cannot achieve that prerequisite to send the carbon shlomim. But in the case of menuda, he doesn't have that problem of bismanshu shalem. True, he probably is avelus on the outside, and he observes the laws that are similar to an ovel, but he's missing the main point, namely the kiyum shebelev. Everything seems to fit in a beautiful package until we see a Gemara in Sukkah, specifically a Rashi in Masechta Sukkah. Here's where the problem started. And again, I'm dedicated and committed to defend the Rav in this case, not in every case, but in this case. Not because I was a Talmud for 5 years, but because this chiddush of the Rav is so fundamental and so much proven, you know, and demonstrated by the very premise of the Gemara Moed Katan that we began with. But I don't know how to reconcile it with the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Chaf Hey, we study this in the Kollel here in Toronto, postulates that an avel is obligated in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. There's no such thing as a p'tur mitzvah in the case of an avel. He has isurim, but there's no p'tur. A chassan, on the other hand, when he gets married, is potter from kriyat shema and many other mitzvahs. Why? So Gemara says it depends. If he's marrying a woman who's been married before, then these laws are suspended. But if he's married, marrying a woman who's never been married, it's the first time she's being married, then the chassan is potter. Why? Because he's Torah. Tet reish vavda. I would translate it as that as he's preoccupied, he's obsessed. He's focused in a single-minded way on his mitzvah of marrying, of being kones of psul. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. You want to postulate that tirda exempts a person from mitzvahs? What about a financial tilda? Tavas vinos biyam. You know, he suffered some sort of crash on the stock market in the Rahman al-Islam. So maybe he should be put in the mitzvah. Gemara says, name. There's a difference between Torah and tilda the mitzvah and Torah and tilda the rishus. In the case of a chassan, his tilda is tilda the mitzvah. He's obligated to be Torah. That's the way he fulfills his mitzvah. He's preoccupied. He should be. Not so in the case of a person who suffered financial loss. My heart goes out for him, and we all feel for him a very, very profound empathy, but that's Tirda the Rishus. Tirda the Rishus does not have the power to undermine other mitzvahs. And he's going to have to somehow, miraculously, I mean, to gain all the strength, Herculean, and overcome them, and put his tirid on the side and fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, but what about an avil? There the tirid is a tirid of the mitzvah. He's preoccupied with his avilas. And especially according to the Rav, that the whole essence of avilas is an inner state, an emotional state of being. So the Gemara says in Sukkah Chaf Hei, take a look at number Ches, that hacha tarit tirdu the mitzvah, hasam tarit tirdu the rishus. That the concept of tirdu the rishus is applicable to a chasam. Excuse me, to an oven. But what's going on here? Rashi says the following. Tirdu the rishus. Number test on your page. Sha'af al pishu chayav linhog avelus shal ne'ila rechitza v'sicha Leharos kvod meso, eino chayv litztayer. What does Rashi seem to be saying?
No,
that you have to do the actions. To cover a mess. You can't show cruelty as if nothing happened. Go on to your very basic daily schedule. But eino chayv litztayer. How do you reconcile that with the Rav Zisot? But again, as I told you before, I am committed, very committed. And I want to be mechalek between two concepts that sound identical, but take the equal sign and put a line down there. Kiyum shebelev of avelus is not tird, and tird is not kiyum shebelev. How do I measure a bona fide kiyum shebelev? What's my litmus test? The answer is, to the extent in which that we can expect that the avel overcome his kiyum shebelev and focus on mitzvahs, that's kiyum shebelev. But at the very moment that the avel becomes so preoccupied with his avelus that he cannot get himself to perform mitzvahs, at that moment he crossed all the red lines, we call that tirda and tirda the mitzvah. Enu chayv litztayer. What Rashi means by enu chayv litztayer, it means he's not makayim any mitzvah whatsoever by entering into a state of tsar which makes it impossible for him, which it interferes with his ability to do a mitzvah. On the contrary, I would say that the chiyuv on an avil is even greater. It's all the obligations of mitzvah are even more incumbent on the avil. The avil has to collect himself and do the mitzvahs. That's his chiyuv. That's part of tzidduk adin. He's going to be the shliach tzibur for us if possible. He'll recite the kaddish on behalf of the whole tzibur if possible. Any mitzvah, he's the first one we want to give the opportunity to do it. Mitzvahs? Yes. Tirdu no. Tirdu means a kind of tsar in which he's depressed, he can't move, he's straitjacketed, nebuch. And this is exactly like someone who suffered a financial loss. To the extent in which his preoccupation makes it impossible for him to fulfill mitzvahs, that's tirdu derishus. But we're not in the clear yet. I have four more questions to ask on the road. Question number one. Is it really true then that according to the Rav, that the Rav is right, that in the case of Regel, since it overrides Avelus, my mitzvah is what? Simcha, and therefore Simcha is antithetical to Avelus, and therefore I can't have a Kiyum Shebelev. If I can't have a Kiyum Shebelev, then Avelus is meaningless, because the whole point of, according to the Rav, of Avelus is to generate this Kiyum Shebelev. But what do we do with the Tosefta? The Tosefta in Moed Kut in the second parak says, "Avel eino rashoy l'savul b'tocha moed avol noy b'tzina." He has to be an avel b'tzina even during the regel. But wait a minute, the mitzvah of simchas a regel applies even inside his house. The Ramban in Sefer Torah Sa'odom quotes the Tosefta and accepts it. He embraces the Tosefta. Avelus no heges b'regel b'dvarim shebitzina. Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Ramban. Take a look. In Yerodeh Shin Tzadi Tes, Hakover meisav erichol moed noeg din aniz kol zvat shlo nikra liachin she nikmar noeg dvarim shebitzina. Even in Archaim he quotes it in Hilchus Chol HaMoed. Zeh shamaru shakover regel the meisav erichol chalal af avelus hanimim dvarim shel farhesia. Aval dvarim shebitzina noeg. Rav Shabbatzina basically means Isur Tashmish Hamita. Maybe there are some poskim who would expand it even beyond that. Maybe in his house he shouldn't wash himself, whatever it might be. But what's the point of that Avelus? How could there be Isurei Avelus on a Regel when the whole point of Isurei Avel is to generate a Kim Shabalev, which is impossible on a Regel? Unless you're going to convince me that there's no Mitzvah Simchas Halev inside your house. I find that difficult. I think the Gemara only used Asei Derabim to classify this essay as something even greater than that of an essay de Yachid. But it doesn't mean to limit the mitzvah Asei of Regel to the Farhesia situation, because the Rabim are there. And if a person eats meat, does he have to eat meat in public in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Savachta v'Chagecha? Obviously not. So why in private Do I tell the Avil to be noeg dvarm shebitzina yisurei Avil, when at the same moment I'm telling him he's obligated in the midst of samachta b'chagecha? And the Rav says that A, the yisurei Avil exhaust themselves in the goal of kiyum shebalev avelus. Number two, that kiyum shebalev avelus is antithetical to the kiyum shebalev of simcha, and the two cannot mutually exist, coexist. So if at the end of the day Simchas HaRegel overrides, it trumps Avelus, and therefore there cannot be a Kiyum Shebalev Avelus, then there can't be any mitzvah of Avelus. It's got to be completely undermined. How can there be Isurei Avel during the Regel? And that's only one question. I have another bunch. Take a look at the Shari Tshuva in the name of the Shvus Yankiv. This is number Yudalit on your page. He says that when the Shulchan Aruch says b'farhesia, you should derive from that tefillin. I don't know if you've ever seen the minhag of wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Have you seen it? Well, that is your minhag. Okay. I frankly speaking, I never had that minhag. I never once in my life wore tefillin on Chol HaMoed. I can't even imagine what it feels like. Although there are communities where they're very makbid about it in Chutz Lartz. I was once on Pesach in North Miami Beach, in the Young Israel there, they would not let you, it was a takonis kol, daven for the omud as a shliach tzibur if you weren't wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. More than half the shul, by the way, didn't wear tefillin. But, you know, the diehard yekis and some of the litvaks wear tefillin. But, and that's what the Ramah says. You don't make a bracha on your tefillin, do you? No, that far you don't go. There are those, I think, who make a bruch, and then they say bruch shen kvod malchus, after bruch, I don't know. So if your minig is to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, well, one of the Isurei Avel is not to wear tefillin on the first day of his Avelus, which is a complicated halacha, but the Gemara derives it from Percha Chavush Alecha in Sefer Yechezkel, Michlal, that if not for that tzivui, he would not be wearing tefillin, because an Avel doesn't wear tefillin, not on the first day, Vachrisa Ki Omar. But what if the first day is on Yontif? On the Regel? So it's Chol HaMoed Sukkos. You just came back from the Beis HaKfaris. You buried your dead. And now the Shari Tshuva quotes a Shita in Poskim, the Shvus Yaakov, who argues with the Magen Avraham and holds that in such a case he shouldn't wear tefillin. I mean, others might hold he shouldn't wear tefillin on any Chol HaMoed. But if you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, then at least you should leave it out on the first day of Avelus. But what do you mean the first day of Avelus? There is no Avelus on Regel. The Gemara is explicit that Simchas HaRegel overrides Avelus. So if you're involved in the midst of Simcha, and your obligation on Regel is to wear tefillin, because that's your way of serving Hashem, then who cares if you're an Avel? There is no Avelus on the Regel. Avelus on the Regel is completely out of whack. It's completely unapplicable. So why would there be an Iser Avelus on the Regel? So those are two kashas that I have. Now a third kash I have is based on a very meticulous reading and comparative reading of two Rambams and two Shulchan Aruchs. The same, you'll see the same pattern in both cases. The Rambam, I think, contradicts himself with regard to the Isur Talmud Torah to an Ovel. I'm not talking about Regel anymore. I'm just talking about the Isurei Ovel. You know, one of the 11 Isurei Ovel that the Rambam lists in Perkei is Talmud Torah. It's derived in the Gemara and Tainus from Haneg Dom. That you have to be silent. The Torah is a matter of speaking Torah. That's antithetical to Avelus. So what do you do with parts of the Torah that are what we call Dvarim Roim? They don't bring you into a state of Simcha. I mean, why is Avelus and Talmud Torah mutually exclusive? Presumably, Talmud Torah would undermine your Kiyum Shebelev, because Talmud Torah is a great act of Simcha. In fact, Igli Talin is Akdoma, maybe we'll talk about it once, holds that Simcha is an integral part of the Mitzvah Talmud Torah. Without it, you're not Yotzer. But be that as it may, if you take a look at the Rambam, following the Gemara Moed Katan, which is the last source on page 1, that says also likros b'Torah b'Nevi'im b'Ksuvim etc. Mishnah Medrash Halachas and Talmud, and the Gemara makes no qualifications here. So the Rambam in Hilchas Ovel, which is number Yud Ches on your page, on page 2, Perek Hei Halacha Tes Zayin, says also likros b'Torah b'Nevi'im b'Ksuvim l'Shanas v'Mishnah Medrash Halachas. The only heter, the only limitation qualification he allows for is the case of Rabim Tzrichim Lo. If the community needs him to teach Torah, but barring that very extreme case, the Rambam doesn't have any limitations, any allowances whatsoever, no leniencies for studying Torah, and he's really following the Gemara in Moed Katan. However, take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tainius. With regard to Avelus of Tisha B'Av, this is number Chaf Dalet on your page, the Rambam in Tainius Perkei Aloch Yid Aleph. The Rambam says, "Also across the Tisha B'Av," and he lists Neviim, Ksuvim, Mishnah, Lachas, Talmud, Hagadas. But then he says, "V'ena Korei Ela B'Iyov Ubekinos V'Dvarim Aram Shabiyirmiya." So wait a minute. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainius goes on record explicitly as saying that the Isa Talmud Torah Navelus in this case for Tisha B'Av is limited, and it doesn't extend to apply to those parts of the Torah which are we'll call Dvarim Raim. Then why doesn't he make the same qualification in Hilchos Avel, which we saw here, Perek Hei Halacha Tes Zayin? He should have said V'ena Korei Ela V'Iyo V'Kinos Dvar Maram Shebiyirmiya. Because after all, if we're saying that Avelus is fashioned in a way that it facilitates your Kiyum Shebelev, then I understand that if you're studying Bav Mitzia, Shnayim Oks Vitalis, you want to know whether to say Yachloku or Kol Dolam Govar or Yehimuna Chatshev Yo, I can understand that might bring you to a state of Simcha. Pikudi Hashem Yishar Mesamchi Lev. That's antithetical and uproots the Kim Avel Shebel Lev. But what about Dvar Maroyim? I mean, the Rambam allows you that during Tisha B'Av. Apparently, that's not Pikudi Hashem Yishar Mesamchi Lev. I can't tell you explicitly that the Rambam is Machmer in Avel. But it's pretty close to explicit. If you come from the same school that I come from, where you read the Rambam very carefully and you don't add things to the Rambam, because the Rambam tells you in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, you don't need to add anything, it's a self-contained book, then my rule of thumb is if the Rambam doesn't qualify, then that's just what it is. It's unqualified. The Rambam has an unqualified Eastern Talmud Torah for an offer. Why? And finally, the last question I want to raise is about Erusin. This is number you test, Gemara and Yevamos Mem Gimel Amud Beis. But I know you have to leave soon, so I'll try to make it really quick. The Gemara and Erusin quotes Rabbi Yossi, and the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Rabbi Yossi, that not only is Nisuin prohibited to an Ovel, because Nisuin is a Maisa Simcha, but even Erusin, which is only a Kinyan, it's just a transaction, it begins the marriage relationship, but doesn't clinch Simcha. It's not V'hoyul Basar Echad. Even that's prohibited during an Ovel. Oh, by the way, that doesn't apply to Tisha B'Av, because an Ovel We're all avelim on Tisha B'Av, but you're allowed to be ma'aris and ish on Tisha B'Av, shemi yikadmenu acher, even on Tisha B'Av itself. I mean, forget about the 3 weeks. But my question is, Rabbi Yossi, which the Ramah echoes in Shulchan Aruch, why would there be an Iser Erisin during Avelus if all of Erisin is meant, if all of Avelus is meant to guarantee and facilitate that Kiyum Shebelev? The Erisin is just a nice Kinyan. Would you tell me that an Avel is not allowed to buy a cow? We didn't find that. I think if we want to defend the Rav against the slings and arrows of all Akashas, then we have to conclude that there are two dimensions to Avelus. That's true, that there is a Kiyum Shebelev, and that's the essence of Avelus. But in addition, the flip side, the other dimension of Avelus are Isurei Avel B'Toras Atzma, that are independent, that are not meant and geared to create a Kiyum Shebelev. They're Isurim that apply to an Avel by virtue of the fact that he's an Avel, even if they won't lead to any Kiyum Shebelev. And Dvarim Shebitzina, for example, is an Iser Avel, B'Toras Iser Avel, and that's it. That's the beginning and the end. The same thing might be true with tefillin. I don't know if tefillin is meant to bring you into a state of simcha, or tefillin is a ma'aseh mitzvah like any ma'aseh mitzvah. I don't know if tefillin is antithetical, is prohibited to an avel because it's a simcha that undermines its avel shebelev. Or no, pe'er chachav shalecha. You can't call an avel, the head of an avel is not pe'er. It's megula me'ul biafar. He's wallowing in the dust. He's got sak ve'efer. He can't be pe'er chachav shalecha. So to din in the stira, the anti-gravitational pull, the opposite repulsion, if you will, between an avel and tefillin, even if it doesn't set up a kiyum shebelev. Therefore, if we conclude that dvarim shebitzina and the isur tefillin are isurei avel b'toras isurei avel, then in that context, an avel is like a menuda. Just like we said in menuda, he imitates, he implements the isurei avel, but he's not got a kiyum shebelev. With regard to dvarim shebitzina, there are two dimensions to the isur dvarim shebitzina. One is because it might bring you to simcha, and the other is because it's also for an avel to be preoccupied with those things. And the same thing with regard to tefillin. Even if tefillin has no element of simcha, it's still an iser avel. And I would say the same thing for Eris. Eris, in according to Rav Yossi, is an iser avel. There's something antithetical about an avel embarking on a marriage commitment. It's not like buying a horse or a cat. That's not for an avel. Will the Erisin generate a feeling and produce a feeling of Kiyum Shebelev of Simcha? And therefore it's antithetical to Avel? No, it's an Iser Avel, but it's Iser Avel. And the same thing might be true with regard to Talmud Torah. That Talmud Torah is antithetical to an Avel Hanegdo. If this be the case, Rabbi Hossein, with this I'll let you go, because I know you have to go. This might be the turning point to explain the difference between Avelus on Churban, what we call Avelus Yeshana, and Avelus Chadasha for Nebuch, one of the seven Krovim that died. In Avelus Yeshana, the entire essence of the Avelus, from A to Z, from soup to nuts, is Kiyum Shebelev. There's nothing else. There's no Gavra Shem Avel, and there's no Isurei Avel B'Toras Atzman. There's only the Kiyum Shebelev. That which we have to be enjoined from on Tisha B'Av is our actions that undermine the Kiyum Shebelev of Avelus. Therefore, there's no Iser Tefillin on Cholam on Tisha B'Av, because Tefillin is only an Iser Avel B'Toras Atzman. Therefore, there's no Iser Talmud Torah with regard to Dvarim Roim Shebiyirmi, etc. Because again, that would not undermine. On the contrary, that might be a Kiyum of Avelus Shebelev. And all the differences, I believe, that you'll find. There's no Iser Erisin, as we said before, on Tisha B'Av. All those differences between Avelus Chadasha, for one of the Zayin Krovim, and Avelus Yeshana, they all revolve around this fear, you know, this point, this pivotal point. Whereas in Avelus Chadasha, there are two dimensions, it's a dualism, it's a duality. With regard to Avelus Yeshana, there's only one dimension. Avelus is a Kiyum Shebelev. The entire system, the matrix of Isurei Avel with regard to Churban HaBayis begins and ends. It exhausts itself in the Kiyum Shebelev. Yeah, I thank you very much. And, we should be zochet to nechamas tzion v'Yerushalayim.